Around 70% of Australians who died last year were cremated, and the rest were buried, mostly in traditional coffins in cemeteries. When it comes to disposing of our mortal remains, our options are actually pretty limited. But if you're becoming more aware of your environmental footprint while living, shouldn't you be looking at reducing your footprint in death too? I want to play for you a snippet from ABC South Australia's State Line program. It was recorded in 2008. A remarkable lady called Myra Macon approached the program. She'd just been diagnosed with cancer and had wanted to have a natural burial.
I see myself as pretty ordinary, average person. I guess I'm very much aware of the environment and very concerned about it. And I care a great deal about what's happening with the environment and where it's going.
In August 2008, Myra Macon faced some extraordinary decisions. Doctors had delivered the news that her life was coming to an end. The Glenelg grandmother had battled cancer once before and won, but not this time.
Oh, heavens no. I don't want to go. Not at all. The point is, I'm going to. We all are going to. And therefore, I just accept that this is what is and this is how it will be.
And so Myra Macon set about making sure it would be exactly how she wanted. A few weeks before talking to the doctors, she had read about natural burials.
For some reason, I had still did not know why, when I saw the advertisement in the paper, I had not been diagnosed at all. I found it interesting. So that is a strange way to come around it, but that is how it occurred.
My phone rang and she said, oh, I've seen an ad for your funerals, I'd like to know more about them. And I said, oh, has there been a death? And she said, not yet, but I'm working on it.
By choosing a natural burial, I will become part of the environment, part of nature.
I said, but you know, look, you can be buried in any cemetery. She said, oh, I don't want to see a headstone. A funny thing to say, because I suppose she's seeing it from somewhere, perhaps. But she said, no, it's got to be where I can be a tree, isn't there? Isn't there somewhere?
Myra Macon only got her wish through good luck and coincidence. An Adelaide Hills couple who planned to have natural burials on their own land heard of Myra Macon's predicament and offered her a spot. One Saturday in September, the whole family went for a walk.
And I will become part of the tree, and it will be an Indigenous tree. And
the fact that others in her situation might not be so lucky convinced Myra Macon to tell her story. She hoped it might prod authorities into getting a move on. The other crucial people Myra Macon had to convince about her choice were her family.
I agree with it completely. I think it's a much more natural way. I just think in general it's natural, it continues the cycle. And I, like I said, I see eye to eye with Nana in a lot of philosophies and that kind of sense, so it's something that I intend to do as well, and I'm glad it actually happens.
It's not like it's a particularly strange sort of thing. I mean, it's not like she's saying she wants to get stuffed and mounted in a museum or anything like that. I mean, it's a cool natural idea. I don't see it as a quirky thing, or I think it's better.
It makes sense to me.
Yeah, I think it's a much better idea.
It's important to me that this is just right, because this will affect my family, and that to me is something very important.
Now, you started out by describing yourself as an ordinary person. I would have thought that somebody who could sit here and talk about this sort of thing is anything but ordinary, is an extraordinary person.
I don't see myself as extraordinary. I see myself as an ordinary person that in many ways has been very, very lucky and very fortunate that I've had a great life, done many things that I've wanted to do, live some dreams, have a fantastic family, and now I've had an opportunity to say to my family the things I want to say, which many people do not have that opportunity. And I have received such unconditional support from them that in itself has been a very beautiful experience.
the late Myra Macon on ABC South Australia's State Line program from 2008. One of the other voices you heard there was that of funeral director Kevin Hartley. Kevin is a contributor to the Australian Natural Burial Project and the project director of Earth Funerals. He joins me now. Kevin, Myra was the first person you worked alongside in establishing a standalone natural burial cemetery. She passed just before Christmas in 2008. That's over 10 years ago now. What does her burial site look like today?
Yeah, look, Andrea, thanks for inviting me along and for playing Myra's voice. Been quite a while since I've listened to that tape, and it's taken me back to the exact moment when I woke up what should happen in funerals. Myra's grave today, it sits on the second highest point in the Mount Lofty Mountains outside of Adelaide, and it now has three native indigenous trees that are much, much taller than me. And she has her wish. She once said to me around that period of time, I've always loved to have the wind in my hair, and when I'm gone, I want to feel it in my leaves. So it's been a real privilege to have helped make that dream come true for her.
The couple who donated that site to Myra are now also buried there. Is that site then protected?
Absolutely, yeah. The moment Myra was buried on that site under the old legislation in South Australia, it became a cemetery, and new legislation now in place confirms that as a natural burial ground. So, yes, and sadly the two owners both died a couple of years apart, the Edo just only this year, in fact. So they too got to fulfil their desire to be buried naturally and on their own property where they'd lived for many, many years, yeah.
You've been involved in the funeral industry for over 20 years. How did your interest in natural burials begin?
I'd been, involved in the traditional commercial funeral industry for many years, and I think the duration of that one day got me thinking about what sort of funeral I'd like, because I was at a crematorium and I was watching funeral after funeral occur on one day, and it sort of almost become obvious to me that one was blurring into the next, and I thought, gee, this is a commercial production rather than an individualised end of life ritual. I also noticed, I think, that the emphasis around funerals had become on products rather than services. You know, what does a coffin look like? What do the flowers look like? And I just sort of thought, this needs a different direction. And I began, under the old act in South Australia, to offer people shroud burials, just very simple, get rid of as much of the product and the trappings around funerals as possible, focus on service and focus on the end-of-life ritual. And this became the most meaningful funeral work I'd ever done. But it took Myra, actually, to get my thinking the full bottle. I was offering people very simple, low impost in terms of low environmental impacts, in terms of shrouds, things of that nature, burials. But she insisted. She was a very funny, very strong woman, and she said, when I said, well, you could, it was in the piece you played, you know, you could be buried in a cemetery in a shroud. She said, not good enough, Kevin. I need somewhere. You know, you're going to have to try. And at that stage, I had absolutely nowhere. And coincidence had it that Russell Job, the owner of the property, rang me, and he was a really fascinating, interesting guy, and he had this sort of gravelly voice, and he said, how can I get buried on my own property? And I got to be friends with Russell and Edda and for a number of years from then and since, and we worked out that, what he needed there was a precedent, somewhere to start, because there were changes to the acts that would have made his property more difficult to bury on. So I put the two together, and look, it all worked out for all three of them. But really, it was Myra who got my thinking straight on this, and I realised, and I worked for a few years after that within the commercial funeral industry, saying, well, how can I get a standalone natural burial ground, a thing that has no headstones, minimal infrastructure, where people could be buried simply like this, become tree, or, you know, not necessarily a tree on every grave, you know, that's sort of not practical necessarily, but in an area that's going to be revegetated back to native status. And after 4 years, I thought, I can't do this in the commercial field. So I took a bit of a break, went away, went over to New South Wales and caught up with some family and stuff. And then just a few years ago, I had a discussion with environmental charities, some really smart people. And over a coffee, we reimagined natural burial in a social not-for-profit status. And suddenly the whole idea has come to life. So for the last 2 years, we've been supported by philanthropy and we've been offered pieces of land and we're developing a natural burial site, one that's before council now up in the New England of New South Wales. And just earlier this year, I moved to Melbourne because, again, we've been offered land outside of the city metro centre. So I've come here to progress this, and that's very quickly the path. I mean, it's a long, complicated story, but Myra woke me up. I suddenly realised not only do we need very low-impact funerals, we need to put them into a place which is low-impact. You know, the idea of watering and mowing a lawn cemetery for 70 or 80 years, and potentially perpetually, in the second driest continent on the planet is just a bit dumb.
Let's dive a bit deeper into that. How do traditional funerals affect the environment?
You mentioned the statistic about 70-odd percent of Australians are cremated. That uses a chipboard coffin and it produces an amount of CO2 and atmospheric pollution. And it's unnecessary. Cremation is by no means the worst polluter in our environment. We produce much more CO2 from energy production and the use of millions of cars on the road. But what makes it, a one to focus on is that it is unnecessary. We're taking a human body that's completely biodegradable, and instead of just popping it into the ground, we're going through a sort of a commercial industrial process to incinerate it. So cremation's not ideal, though it has some levels of convenience. Cemeteries, mostly the problem there is in traditional cemeteries, as I just sort of mentioned, there's a social or legal requirement or impost upon the operators of cemeteries to maintain those spaces in perpetuity. So, you know, if you look at large lawn cemeteries, one comes to mind in Adelaide where there's 40 or 50 acres of lawn that's been watered and mowed continuously for 70 years. And that's just silly. But it's, you know, they're ideas that we've grown up with and been imported from America and originally from the UK around what a cemetery looks like, what our social schemas of that are, you know, what it is we think. And what we're finding now by introducing an idea that says, look, we're going to take a denuded piece of farmland, we're going to revegetate about 30% of it, buffer zones and nice areas that demark burial groves, bury people in there, and when that area is full, we'll turn it into a native woodland. And then 50 years after the site's completely filled, it would still be accessible to the descendants and relatives of people, but it would be maintained as a piece of parkland, just as a piece of native bushland. So the cost to the environment is virtually none at that point, and what we've done on the way through is actually make a contribution to the regeneration of the biodiversity and wildlife corridors and the environment itself.
You're on Weekends with me, Andrea Gibbs. My guest is Kevin Hartley, a contributor to the Australian Natural Burial Project and the project director of Earth Funerals. Kevin, if you're a property owner, is it as simple as just asking your local government if you can create a private burial ground on your land?
Wow, gee, I wish it was, Andrea. It's a very complicated procedure if you want to set up a legally possible burial space. You're based in WA and there's a Cemeteries Act there that talks about this. There is subtle provision for burial outside of cemeteries, but the overriding part of that Act says that all bodies will be buried in a legally constituted cemetery. The only exceptions in WA anyway are around areas that are known to be places of burial but not cemeteries, which probably in many senses applies to your Indigenous community, and have, you know, traditional burial places, particularly in the more remote locations. And there's also a part of the Act that talks about an area that's visibly set apart and distinguishable as a burial place. And that's a catch-up for the traditional historical private cemeteries on, you know, on private land and on large land holdings. But no, if someone wanted to set up their own cemetery for themselves, it's, while technically possible, I would say practically not feasible. In virtually every state. There's different legislations in every state. A little bit easier, for instance, in New South Wales, nigh on impossible in Victoria, for instance.
Is it your hope that natural burials will soon be offered all over the country?
Andrea, it's absolutely my hope because, and that's what we're working on. We've outlined, run through scoping and feasibility of a national project to see a network of burial grounds across Australia, but also associated with those a not-for-profit professional funeral delivery service, so that not only are people able to choose this, but because the funerals are conducted by a non-for-profit, then there's embedded in the service fees for the funeral, rather than profit, is a donation to the environment. So every funeral in our model would contribute another acre of revegetation, which produces groves of living memorial stands of trees. So there's an extension upon just the normal funeral.
You mentioned that your interest in natural burials began back when you started to think about what you would like your funeral to look like. When you think about your own funeral, what does it look like?
Oh, look, Myra set the model for me. I'm buried simple shroud, minimum legal depth, which is about a metre above the metre of soil above my body, so that I'm within cooey of plants and tree roots, so that in a sense, in a very real and provable sense, I suppose it's a little piece of immortality, because maybe there's a heaven and maybe there's places we go after we die, but if there isn't, this is a real good insurance that some little part of your cells and living being will ultimately be absorbed into a living landscape. So I'd like to be buried very simply, very naturally, and become part of that ongoing environment, or stay in there.
Well, I hope your wish comes true. Funeral Director Kevin Hartley, thank you so much for your time today.
Thanks, Andrea. I hope my wish comes true a long time from now.
Me too, mate.
Thanks so much.